This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Jim Morrison and the Doors. Gonna have a real good time. Roadhouse Blues. Thank you for joining us. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Did you have a good Christmas? Did you? Did you get a lot of gifts? Did you give a lot of gifts? Main thing is, did you have a good time and get together with the folks you love, right? Well, we thank you for joining us today, 2 days after Christmas, Wednesday, December 27th. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So as a Christmas gift to me, will you tell your friends about our show on the Tantalk Network? Please, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM. All right. In a few minutes, we're going to have Christine Smith join us, and I cannot think of a better person to join us to give us a year-end review of Donald Trump and his presidency. How did he do? We're going to go down a bunch of things and do, good or bad, naughty or nice for Donald Trump, so stay tuned for that. And Andrew the Master Barber as well. He will come along. He's going to bring along his barber pole. We're going to talk about whether the mainstream media is taking a second look at the way they are treating Donald Trump. Do you think they might be? You know, they can only say so many bad things about him, right? When they start to look foolish. So maybe they're taking a second look. Well, we'll discuss it. And stay tuned for another edition of Campus Quackery. We're going to head to Swarthmore College and what they call their queer look at the Bible. Yeah. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 fastest growing states by percentage of population. Now, what do you think they are? You'll be surprised. So stay tuned for that as well. Please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Find out more about us and have the opportunity to listen to any program we have done recently. Going to the podcast button, and you will see who we had for a guest and the topic and also our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, well, lots to talk about. Christmas. How well did the retailers do? Well, apparently they're enjoying it. And that includes the box stores, not just the onliners. Fueled by high consumer confidence and a robust job market, retail sales in America reached their best pace since 2011, 6 years ago, according to MasterCard Spending Pulse. MasterCard Spending Pulse, they track it. They track both online and in-store spending. This is the best in 6 years. Sales, excluding cars, rose almost 5% from November 1st through Christmas Eve, compared with a 3.7% gain in that same period last year. So things are going well. Did you notice it on the street? Were the parking lots filled? Were you in the stores? Did you spend a lot of money in the stores? Did you go online as well? Did you do all of your shopping online? You're making Amazon very rich. Now, most of these stores are doing well. You know who I feel sorry for? Sears. I bet you hardly anybody went to Sears. Now, that store used to be the one store you would think about at Christmas time. You could get your bicycle there. You get your tires there. You could get your washing machine, your refrigerator. You could get your coats there. You know? You could get your televisions there. It was your one-stop shop. But now, it's not the same anymore at Sears. And I remember when it was huge, you know? It was the store to go to. And that was before Walmart. And I would guess, if anything is as comparable to Sears in its heyday, it's Walmart today, right? Anyway, I would suspect that Donald Trump feels pretty good about the way things are going. And how about retailers? You know, the people that run those stores in general, they have found a newfound buoyancy. This includes department store giants like Macy's to even mall favorites like Gap that actually struggled through a difficult year. And Toys R Us is doing well. Now, Toys R Us is another one like Sears that's had a rough go. But they picked up also Sports Authority, Payless Shoes, all of them found good periods here at Christmas time. So Santa was good to them. Unlike past years when spending was driven by high-income shoppers, according to this MasterCard spending pulse, this holiday brought a broader swath of the population. And that was because they were encouraged by rising wages and lower unemployment. So, you know, when all is said and done, for all of the darts they're throwing at Donald Trump, people are doing better. And that's just the truth of it. And they can say anything they want about how he acts and his temper tantrums and his feuds. But people are feeling better in their wallets. They may not credit Donald Trump, but why is everything going so well? The stock market? Everything's going better. So there's got to be something there. Now, Ron Paul, former Texas congressman, says the economic boom under Trump is a bit of an illusion. And he says debt, inflation, and inequality might cause turmoil that benefits a hardcore nucleus of libertarians. Now, I'm a libertarian, but I'm also, you know, I want to see things go well under Trump. But Ron Paul told the Washington Examiner that Donald Trump could face a strong challenge in the 2020 GOP primary if things get much worse. He said the big opening for us, meaning, I guess, libertarians, is the fact that this system is coming apart, he says. We're on the verge of something like what happened in 89 when the Soviet system just collapsed. He says, I'm just hoping our system comes apart as gracefully as the Soviet system. I wonder if Ron Paul has been imbibing too much over the holidays because things are going too well. But he says he doesn't believe the U.S. will break into separate countries, but instead expects a rethink of monetary policy and an end to what he considers a U.S. empire overseas. Now, you know, I used to be a big, and we've had him on, too, and he makes a lot of sense in a lot of areas, but I don't know what he thinks is going on right now. He says the country's feeling a lot better, but it's all on borrowed money. And that the whole system's an illusion built on corporate, personal, and governmental debt. Well, there's some truth to that, especially in the government. He says it's a bubble economy in many different ways, and it's going to come unglued. So there you go. Ron Paul is a little bit of a Grinch, a Scrooge at Christmas. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, Christine Smith.
Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
You have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tantalk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
Hello, this is Pryor Smith speaking from Toronto. Again this winter, some 4 million Canadians are spending vacation time in Florida. And each day, they're continuing a 63-year tradition, tuning in Canada Calling on radio. They're up-to-the-minute news from home at 9 a.m. and 12 noon here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Join us on WTAN AM 1340 and FM 106.1, WDCF AM 1350, and WZHR AM 1400 and FM 104.3.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, I got a woman mean as she can be. I got a woman mean as she can be. Sometimes I think she's almost mean as me.
That can only mean one thing. It means Christine Smith has rejoined us here. Christine Smith is a political consultant. And she, by the way, she has written extensively about Donald Trump. She is an unabashed Donald Trump supporter. And we invited Christine on to talk about the Donald Trump presidency in review, year in review. And Christine, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Paul. I'm happy to be with you today.
Yeah, and there she is on top of a mountain in Colorado. And she's really got the Christmas spirit, all that snow over there. And so, Christine, let's... Let's take a look, maybe by topic to some extent. And I know you love Donald Trump, but, you know, we're all human, and I'm sure that there are some things that he could have done better. But let's start out right at the top, I would say, with the economy. Do you find that Donald Trump's presidency has in any way influenced the stock market and, quite frankly, the way the businesses are hiring and the low unemployment rate? Do you give him some credit for that?
Well, I absolutely do. I think in every way we measure it, economically and otherwise, we are living in a historic time. And certainly all of us are aware of the tax cut bill, which despite those who want to naysay it, they're going to benefit likely as well. Over 80% of Americans are going to receive a tax cut. I don't know what there is to complain about that. I think it's outstanding. You take a look at the GDP, you take a look at consumer confidence and spending, the stock market booming. No, this is no coincidence. This is because of President Trump. And even upon his inauguration, when the world learned that he was to become our president, things started to change because people knew, or at least they hoped, that he was going to follow through on his promises. And I would say, you know, it's historic because in Trump, we have found a man who essentially listed what he was planning to do economically, socially, in regards to the law, you know, domestic policy and international, and then he set about doing it. And frankly, I think that, in my opinion, he's the highest achieving president, you know, a first-year president that we've ever had, and I find it incredible, and I think the economy is a perfect place to look at what we have gained solely because we have President Trump, or primarily, I would say, because thereof.
Now, he has a business background and not a political background. Do you think because of the way the economy has looked with him in the White House that maybe people will start saying, I don't want a president with a political or law background. I'm looking for a guy that's an entrepreneur or a businessman. I mean, really, do you think that will change, or will we, after the Trump era, go back to, you know, lawyers and politicians?
I am hoping that President Trump's example will be replicated across this country, not just in federal offices, but in local offices. And I believe that once people see the benefit and they can measure it in their wallet, whether it's through their, you know, their jobs being freed to, you know, I mean, think about the regulations. He proposed he was going to do 2-to-1. For every new regulation, 2 were going to be cut. What did it turn out to be? 22-to-1 in deregulation. This is something we need to see. Business free to do as it will. Individuals having more, keeping more of their money. And I think people are going to learn, and apparently it took the hard way, decades of not having this and then being exposed to this. So I frankly think that this has put America on a much better path, and I would hope that people are intelligent enough, aware enough, to keep it going. I think they will.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on to another topic. We could talk about the economy throughout the show here, but immigration. Now, he talked extensively about building a wall, promising that Mexico would pay for the wall. He didn't give a timetable, and I'm talking about when he was running, but he still continues. You'll hear him every once in a while say, and we are going to build that wall. So I guess my question to you is, A, do we need the wall? And B, do you think he really will build it?
I think that he is going to do his very best, as he has with every other promise, to achieve it. It remains to be seen if it's accomplished, solely because of the type of Republicans that are currently in government, as well as the block votes that the Democrats are doing to obstruct. But I think that he's certainly going to try. I think that he is going to try his very best to attempt everything. And in my book, that is what counts. In regards to illegal immigration, I mean, the statistics are outstanding in regards to even now, such as it is, with President Trump there, the more power he has given to ICE agents, the increase in ICE agents. I believe, you know, I've read it's been decades, you know, over 40 years that we have now have a border crossing hits the all-time low. So even with what he's doing now, he is accomplishing much of that. And I do think in regards to immigration, much more, you know, in the future is going to be accomplished, especially when we take a look at chain migration, which is quite a problem. I do support him with merit-based immigration. Those are things yet to come in the coming years, but he's accomplished so much in the first year, it's amazing, and I do believe he will go forward strongly to accomplish every one of his promises.
We're talking with Christine Smith, political commentator and consultant, and she's written extensively on Donald Trump. She believes in his message. On to another topic, foreign policy, Christine. Now, he's had to deal with Russia, of course, in many ways with Russia. He's had to deal with China. He's had to deal with North Korea. He's had to deal with Israel. He's had to deal with the Mideast. In general, do you think he's making a difference overseas? And also, why do so many leaders, apparently, if you believe what the press says, not like Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm. I think that we are safer now as a nation. Every American, every individual here is much safer due to President Trump's administration. I would give several examples, which I will do very quickly. You take a look at ICE's defeat. I believe when he was inaugurated, if I remember correctly, the estimate was about 35,000 ISIS fighters. We're down to 1,000 now, as well as the land that has been recouped. I like what he has done in regards to reversing what Obama did with Cuba. I think that is in our best interest. I think he did an incredible historic trip, 12 days, almost 2 weeks, the Asian trip. I think that goes very well with our international relations. I even count as quite a success his acknowledgement, his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So overall, yes, and I think I would like to remind all of your listeners that our president inherited a terrible situation internationally, whether we're looking at North Korea, whether we're looking at Iran. All of these were dire situations he inherited because of the weak administrations before him. And now he has to cope with this and figure out what is in our national security interest. In regards to the international community, I think that President Trump is being strong. I think he will be ruthlessly strong in favor of what is most loving for the American people. And like him, I don't care what the international community says. I care far more about what is in the best interest of America.
Fair enough. What about race relations? Now, people on the left continue to try desperately to tar him as some sort of white, nationalist type of a person. There was that one time, I think, while he was running, he brought up this Mexican judge because he had some issue, and he felt that the guy would be biased against him. And do you remember that? And the press jumped on him because of...
Yes, I remember.
And they kind of used that and said, well, look, he's a racist, you know. Or the Charlottesville march. He says, well, there were people on both sides. There were some good people on both sides. And they jumped on him for that, trying desperately to tag him as being some sort of a white nationalist. Your feeling about his actual accomplishment, if any, in race relations?
Well, I think that the greatest accomplishment in race relations is the fact that he is, I think, one of the most fairest and just men personally. I think what has been exemplified in his life as a businessman. And I think that the radical liberals will do anything and grab onto anything to twist and distort what the man says. We have a transparent president. We have a man who simply shares what he's thinking at the time. He doesn't go and consult necessarily with a group of people to phrase and read off his teleprompter before he opens his mouth. And thus, what can come out, they can twist and distort. I don't believe there is anything racist about Donald Trump. On the contrary, I think that all that he is doing domestically for the United States enables everyone to flourish. I take a look at home buying among minorities. I take a look at the jobs that are being provided. Everyone is benefiting. So I just see it as a ludicrous argument.
Fair enough. And he's had the strangest relationship with the press that any president in my lifetime has ever had. Usually, you know, presidents always treat the press like a cobra. You know, they treat it with respect because they know it can spring upon them at any time. But he grabbed this cobra by the tail, did he not?
Well, and I love that he did. It was time that someone did, and that is why it is so important that people listen to him rather than people who put their spin on it.
Do you like his tweets? Do you like his tweeting?
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, one needs to be thoughtful and maybe read it before you push the send. But I completely am very glad because I believe it is the only way he can 100% communicate with us directly. And, you know, we were talking about some of the international policy. Domestically, I'd like to remind your listeners, I mean, we've got Gorsuch certainly in the Supreme Court, which I think is a benefit. Something that was very important to me was the way the educational system was going in the United States. And I see I'm a small government individual. I have always been. And for those who care about liberty, freedom, those with a libertarian strain in them, you want small government. And I would remind people that, yeah, the government is bloated. The federal government is bloated. And we finally have a man who is actually doing things to limit the power of government and give that back in education, giving that back to the states for charter schools, for school choice. Another thing that really deeply impressed me this last year was what he has done for Veterans Affairs. I mean, he has had multiple achievements to help veterans in so many different ways. I would remind people it relates to the economy, the energy sector being freed up. These are things that we have needed for so long. And I like the fact that even with by executive order, much less, you know, in examples of the bills, that he's undoing the things which Obama did, which I do not feel benefit the American people. So I'd have to say both domestically and internationally, going back to your initial question, I think that we've had an outstanding year. It's actually amazing to me. I never could have anticipated this could happen in our country.
Okay, but there's got to be something you would think he could have done better. If you were to search your brain on that.
Yes.
Would you have something?
Yeah, I would say, I'm not going to say that it is a mistake because it is a judgment call. But I would have to say my approach. So, again, it's not a right or wrong. It's a matter of one's personal approach and temperament. My approach in a similar situation to receiving the power, the inauguration that he has, in any similar situation, I'd have to say that I am someone who would like to clean house, get a clean slate, and I would be very careful as I decided about who I was going to allow to remain in government positions. I would be extremely selective in those that I was going to place around me for my staff, for my cabinet.
So he could have chosen better.
My advisors. So I would say, and again, I can't say it's a mistake, but I took a look at some of the things he did, and I'm thinking he's approaching it. This is my speculation as a businessman, but people might be a great person, a great individual with all kinds of talent, but you need to be very careful and say, but all those the talents, do they have the knowledge, the expertise for the area that I am putting them in? And again, that's a judgment call in, you know, hindsight 2020, but I saw, you know, in that area, I just personally feel that had I been an advisor to the president, I would have given him some suggestions that differed from what he did. But I'm sure even in such situations, this is a man who will learn from anything that he's done if he regards it as a mistake. So
right.
I think he only becomes more powerful and more wiser as he does this. But that's the area that I would say that, but again, it's speculation. Perhaps he actually feels, you know, he did the best. I'm sure he did the best as he thought it at the time.
Is he, in your opinion, the best president we've had in your lifetime?
He most certainly is.
He is, huh?
I'm 50 years old, and I only saw it getting worse and worse and worse to the degree that I just despaired for my country entirely. And now I see that it's turning around, and we have more than hope. We have progress. And it's a wonderful thing to see, and really people need to get over, the Democratic bloc vote, get over the labels and take a look. Your life, no matter what your political affiliation and what that used to mean in this country, your life is being improved because of Donald Trump's policies. You better appreciate it. You better support it. Because as long as we have this going on, we are all going to financially benefit as well as in our security and our prosperity.
Christine Smith, I want to thank you. And you got a website. Tell us the website. People can share some of your feelings and thoughts there.
Thank you, Paul. My website is christinesmith.us. From there, you can go to my Trump page and numerous essays. And I'll just say, we are competitive again. And we are looking out for America's best interest, and that's been a long time coming, and I'm grateful to President Trump. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Christine. All right, Christine Smith. Well, she certainly gives you her feelings, does she not? Wow. All right, we're going to take our break, and we're going to have, on the other side, our buddy Andrew the Master Barber. He's going to bring along his barber pole. We're going to talk about the mainstream media, and are they taking a second look at the way they're treating Donald Trump?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, you. Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back 2 days after Christmas. Are you enjoying all your Christmas gifts? Are you wearing some of them? Well, let's talk with Andrew the Master Barber. He has joined us after Christmas. And Andrew, did you have a good Christmas?
Paul, my Christmas was great, buddy.
Good.
How about yours?
It was excellent. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it very much. I got pretty much everything I wanted.
Did you? I got a surprise. I got me a talking Trump doll. It was my favorite present.
You're kidding.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I thought I would have brought him with me today and had him say a couple lines,
yeah.
But actually I forgot him.
Oh, my goodness. A talking Trump doll. Now, I think that would be a great, great gift for a lot of people, whether they like Trump or not. If you don't like them, you can give them a talking Trump doll, too.
Well, you know, after this Christmas, people ought to realize what a job this guy is doing. Look at the money people spent.
Yeah,
look
exactly.
Look at what's going on.
It's been a great, great Christmas. We talked about that a little earlier on the show. Retailers, are both box retailers and online, are very happy with the way things have been going. So I wanted to talk, Andrew, with you a little bit about whether or not you think the mainstream media might start changing its tune here in the new year on how they treat Donald Trump. Do you think there's any chance that they would start to recognize that he had a pretty good year? They'll have to start admitting it and maybe treat him with a little more respect?
I don't think they have any choice. They're going to lose their ratings because, you know, that's what the news is about.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to lose their ratings. Look at how they've gone down. They either get on the wagon or they lose.
Well, here's Newsweek. They published an article on Christmas Eve claiming that Donald Trump uses the phrase Merry Christmas as a dog whistle for white nationalism.
Oh, you know, I'm so tired of hearing this crap, Paul, because that's all it is.
I shouldn't even bring it up.
Tell these people to get a grip in life.
You know.
Why don't they talk about the top 10 things that Trump did this year?
Well, because they'd rather diminish him a little bit.
I mean, if you look at it, he enforced Obama's red line in Syria. It was one thing, wasn't it?
I think they're treating his handling of that situation a lot more seriously now, yeah.
Yep, okay. Yeah. And then look what he did. You know, they say he colluded with Russia, right? But look at the tough line he's taken against Russia.
Yes, indeed. He's confronted Russia.
$47 million to Ukraine and put new sanctions against
Russia.
Yes,
he has.
I hope they find his collusion.
I know. No, you're exactly right.
Okay.
I think, mm-hmm.
Look at Jerusalem, okay? Israel's capital now. How many presidents have talked about doing that but didn't have the guts?
You're right. He did indeed. We're moving our embassy there.
Okay, look at about the Paris Climate Agreement. He got rid of them, didn't he?
Yes.
He enforced the Keystone Pipeline.
He did enforce it.
All right.
He's also said we're pulling money out of the United Nations.
Oh, that was beautiful. $285
million. $285
million. That's right. You know, that's part of the wall.
The United Nations will build the wall.
That's right.
Not just Mexico. Right. The rest of the world will build the wall.
Look what he did with the NATO allies. Got them to kick in $12 billion more, didn't he? Because he says they weren't doing enough.
And look at ISIS. ISIS did, I want to tell you this. ISIS has lost 98% of the territory it once held.
Got rid of all of their strongholds, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you know what? He admitted his thoughts against Afghanistan. At first, he thought, you know, pulling out would be good. But he said once he got behind the presidential desk, he realized how things were different and realized what a mistake Obama made by pulling out of there.
So the only place we got to worry about now maybe is North Korea.
And we're going to put an end to that.
We're going to put an end to that, right?
We're going to put an end to that, Paul.
Did you see where one of the people that defected, one of the guards or whatever?
They said he had anthrax.
He had anthrax in him.
That's right.
What a place to live.
Yep. Killing their own people.
If they don't kill you from the outside, they'll kill you from the inside.
That's right.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Look at his top man, too. He disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Did you know he shot an anti-aircraft missile at one of his uncles or something for being disrespectful? Do you remember reading about that?
I remember hearing about that.
My goodness. He has a rather a strange sense of humor. As far as I'm concerned.
No. So, you could look at his sense of humor just by his haircut.
All right. So we're going into 2018. In November of 2018, it's hard to believe, but we will have the midterm elections coming up. That's, in less than a year now. Do you think the Republicans have anything to worry about?
I don't think they have too much to worry about, Paul, to be honest with you. What are the Democrats going to run on? Hate Trump?
That's true.
And that's all they got.
It's always, us versus them for Democrats. In other words, they'll try to bring up the race issue, right? They'll try to bring up the rich versus poor issue. They'll try to bring up possibly the immigration issue to say that Donald Trump is a Grinch.
They're forgetting the one most important thing.
What's that?
The money issue. When people get money in their pockets, they're happy. They're going to forget about all the other stuff they're talking about.
Yeah, remember that famous saying, it's the economy, stupid?
That
would be it. So you think that the economy will do what will be, I mean, nobody knows for sure, but projecting into November, the economy, if it indeed stays where it is, you think that Republicans will gain seats in Congress as opposed to
definitely.
Losing seats? Okay.
Definitely. But, you know, They're already trying to plan protests, if Trump fires Mueller all over the country. It's amazing what they put their money into.
Do you think he should fire
Mueller? Of course he should. It's a waste.
Really?
It's a waste of the taxpayers' money. But, if he does, they're going to think, he doubted this.
That's why he probably won't.
They can't find nothing on the guy, so let's just keep wasting money. This is money that could be in the people's pockets instead of these people's. It's ridiculous.
By leaving Mueller there, if he can't find anything, he sort of twists Mueller. Sort of twists in the wind. He's gotten a few low-hanging fruit things, with Manafort and a couple of others that nothing to do with Russian collusion.
You're going to find out that this whole Mueller investigation is going to come down on all of them. There's no question about it.
Now, in fact, there are committees, Republican, being led by Republicans, of course, but there are committees that are now actually looking into Russian collusion, but looking into it from the Democratic point of view.
That's right, and they will find it with the uranium deal.
And also the dossier and the fact that they might have based the attempt to go after Trump on a phony dossier.
Yep. Well, my predictions, Paul, for 2018, I think you're going to see Hillary Clinton, Jim Comey, all going down, buddy.
You really do, huh?
Yep, and I don't know if little Gruden takes over the Bucks, you might see them in the playoffs next year.
I was going to talk with my buddy here, Big Ed, who is our sports guru on John Gruden, but you actually follow that. Do you think John Gruden is... But they say you can't go home again. Can he go home again?
I don't know. I did.
And it worked?
It's worked. I did, and it worked. I don't see why not.
Well, on that note, we want to wish you the happiest Christmas, post-Christmas. We'll be talking with you again Friday. I would wish you a Happy New Year on Friday. But
you got it, Paul.
It's just great to talk with you and let you get back to your work, my friend.
You got it. You take care. Have a good day.
Thanks, Andrew. There he goes. Andrew the Master Barber. I wonder if he wears a Santa suit. during the holiday season when he is cutting hair. Okay, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, another edition of Campus Quackery.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
As we celebrate 25 years of Lightning hockey, we look to the past, but we can't keep our eyes.
Kucherov closes it, fires, scores!
Off the present. Night after night, this electrifying team...
And another stop by Vasilevsky.
...keeps our heart rate high.
Stamkos scores!
And your volume cranked up.
The onslaught continues.
The Tampa Bay Lightning. Be the Thunder. This Friday, Lightning versus Flyers, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at TampaBayLightning.com.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Mother-in-law.
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 We are back for the final 15 minutes of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us as you throw out your wrapping paper and kind of settle back in. But... we have got a story here, and we have to go to Swarthmore College, which is in Pennsylvania, I believe, for a very strange story. One of the nation's most prestigious liberal arts colleges is advancing what they call a queer theology agenda. Yeah, I'll tell you. Wait till you hear this, Wilbur. Swarthmore College, by the way, they were founded by Quakers, okay? So this makes it really strange. Is offering courses in Queering the Bible and Queering God. The courses were first reported by Campus Reform. Queering the Bible, one-credit class that surveys queer and trans readings of biblical texts. Now, here's what they say in the course description. By reading the Bible with the methods of queer and trans theoretical approaches, this class destabilizes long-held assumptions about what the Bible and religion say about gender and sexuality. Can you imagine going back and doing this? Now, the school's religion department is also teaching a class that questions the sexuality of the Almighty. It's called Queering God, Feminist and Queer Theology. And they say the God of the Bible and later Jewish and Christian literature is distinctively masculine, definitely male, or is he? It says, if we can point out places in traditional writings where God is nurturing, forgiving, and loving, does that mean that God is feminine or female? So there you go. Swarthmore College. And those are the hottest, you know, and there, first of all, when I was a little boy, God was... you know, even though you would see pictures, you know, of God with a white beard, you know, and floating along in the clouds, and, you know, the Da Vinci, Michelangelo portrait, we were told in Catholic school that God was both, he, you know, there was no sex to God, per se, really. I mean, we would think of him as a man, but that didn't mean he really was. We were never told that. So, And by the way, in line with this, have you seen where some of the media are talking, and some groups are now talking about going back into history and looking at whether or not certain people were gay or not gay, and bringing these things out about them? I mean, why? What does that have to do with their accomplishments? I don't understand that either.
They're going to go back 30,000 years and find somebody that was sexually harassed.
Yes,
bring
indeed.
Up charges.
I'm sure they will. Mary Magdalene, probably, right? She was probably sexually harassed.
I mean, Eve would have a case, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would. That doggone serpent.
You know, against Adam, you know?
Absolutely. Okay. Before we get to our top 10, I wanted to talk with our sports guru, Big Ed, about, and he has an inside look because he's at every home game, and he gets into the locker room, talks with the players. But I cannot believe it that John Gruden is seriously thinking about coming back to the Bucs. Ed, do you think that would be a wise thing, and do you believe he will?
Well, we've talked to, you know, there's half the media is one way and half the other way. I'm... You have to understand when I told you this a couple of weeks ago that when the Glazers announced that Gruden was going to go into the Ring of Honor in August, we actually found out that day that they had contacted him 2 years ago.
That's right. You did mention
that. So the Glazers are willing. Now it's up to Gruden if he's willing to come back. I think the pieces are in place. His son is his youngest son, not his youngest son, but his middle son, Deuce, is the strength coach for his John Gruden's brother, Jay, who is the head coach in Washington. And I think he would love to coach and have his son next to him coaching with him. So there's that. And I just think that things and Gruden said a lot of things this past couple of weeks or so. He said that, you know, he made some mistakes. And if he had to do it over again, he would do things differently. I think that opens the door saying, you know, okay, I've made some mistakes. You've made some mistakes. Maybe we can make this thing work again. And the Glazers are about splash. They like the big name. They're not gonna fire Dirk Cutter. Well, they will, but they're gonna have to have somebody in place that they know or feel is going to be better. You can't go into the college ranks and pull somebody out or another first time head coach. That's just not gonna happen. And everybody says, well, we keep changing coaches every 2 years. The thing is okay, if you look at Raheem Morris, he spent 3 years here. He was fired, and he's gone nowhere. He's nothing but an assistant coach. He's not gotten a head coaching job. Greg Schiano, same thing. He's in college, coaching in college. Lovie Smith, same thing. He's in college. They have not gotten a head coaching job. It's not like Bill Belichick when he was in Cleveland, and they let him go, and then look what he's done in New England. Now, that was a mistake. But the Glazers are about splash, and they think corporate. Corporate's not going to get back behind these Bucks next year with some dinker-donk coming out of college. They're not going to do it. I'm sorry. So I think they're going to – and, you know, when they first got Gruden, they had to give up $8 million in cash, two first-rounders, two second-rounders. This time, all they have to do is pay the money.
That's because, of course, he was where?
He was with Oakland.
Oakland Raiders. Right. And he actually came in a deal to Tampa. Now –
Since Gruden's been gone, I think the Bucs are something like 24 wins or 25 wins and 94 losses.
I wouldn't have thought Gruden was really interested until I read yesterday in the paper that he was actually apparently making contact with his former assistants and finding out if they might be available. To me, that is a sign that he is definitely interested.
And the only other running would be in New York, but that's Gruden doesn't mesh with the media very well, even though he's part of the media now. But the New York media is a lot more vicious than down here.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think it works up there.
I think he lives down. Does he not live in Tampa?
Yeah, he still lives here.
Well,
absolutely.
So there to me would be a big reason. He would be able to stay at home, I'm sure that would be a big reason. But I guess I can't get my head around the idea that here he is with this cushy job at ESPN. They pay him a ton of money. And with all of the ups and downs and the chances that you lasted as a head coach, you know, usually every one of them, almost everyone gets fired at some point.
And, well, you bring up ESPN. ESPN's having problems. They keep laying off people. They're going to be laying off more people. ESPN ratings are down. And last year they got rid of Mike Tirico, who was with Gruden in the booth on Monday night for years. And we understand that he was very upset about that. So I think that could be part of it.
So he's got some a bad taste in his mouth? Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. He's just being very quiet about it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We got to get on to our top 10, Ed. So Ed's jumping now from his sports guru chair into the chair to do the drum beating. We've got the top 10 fastest growing states by percentage. Okay, by percentage. And this is between the end of 2016 and the end of 2017. This is hot off the press. Without further ado, the top 10 by percentage. Number 10 is Oregon. Oregon. They jumped 1.4%, and their total population now is 4.1 million people. So, number 9, a state you go to all the time, Ed, Colorado. Would you believe that their population jumped 1.4% in 1 year? They are now at 5.6 million people. Number 8. Now, this one surprised me. Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. It jumped 1.4% to 694,000 people. The only thing I can think about is that we got more lobbyists coming into town because I thought Trump was trying to clean house.
They're running out of space, too.
They are. Number 7, a biggie, Texas. They are flocking into Texas. 1.4% growth. They now are at 28 million people.
How many legal?
About 400. Number 6, Arizona. Ah, yes, 1.6% increase. They're now at an even 7 million people. Same thing as in Texas, a lot of. Maybe about 350 of them are legal. I don't know. Anyway, number 5. The Sunshine State is number 5, Florida. Yes, indeed. 1.6% jump. That's even bigger than Texas. And we're now at 21 million people in this state. We're going to run out of room, aren't we, eventually?
It's always said the peninsula is going to fall off into the sea.
It's going to fall off and we'll float away. Yeah, okay. Number 4. The state of Washington. Yes, indeed. 1.7% increase, 7.4 million people. Number 3, Utah. Yes, indeed. All those Mormons, they must be producing. 1.9% increase, 3.1 million people in Utah. Wow. Number 2, right next door, Nevada. Nevada is the second fastest growing by percentage, 2% even. They're now at 3 million people. I guess all of them crowding into Las Vegas, do you think?
Do a little gambling, and then they leave.
They leave, but they don't leave the state. Mm. All right, finally. Any idea who you think is the number one fastest growing state? Now, again, by percentage.
I'm going to say North Carolina.
You're very, very far away from it.
Okay.
Go to the opposite end of the
California?
Country. Well, you're closer, but you're not close enough. No.
Mm.
No, no. They're leaving California.
Oh.
Governor Jerry Brown has found a way to make people leave his state. Anyway, the number one state is Idaho.
Idaho,
2.2% a population increase in 1 year, and they now are at a robust 1.7 million people in Idaho. So make way, you potatoes.
We got people, all the potatoes you can eat.
And we got people coming in. All right, stay tuned, by the way, for the Craft Beer Hour. With host Kenny and Bill, great show following the news. Till Friday, remember, freedom works